Cassieri, as we continue our study in the course on the book of Joshua, last time we were together, we began lesson number 11, which we've entitled, What It Takes to Win the Battle. And lesson 11 encompasses chapter number 10 of Joshua. Now, in our lesson, we've done a bit of review. We made some introductory remarks. And then we began on the meat of the lesson, what it takes to win the battle. And we began looking under point number two, point A, what it takes to win the battle. We began to look at the first 14 verses of Joshua. And now that's where we want to pick up. We want to pick up in Joshua chapter number 10, in verse number 9, we want to see that Joshua executes a sudden attack. Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So we see that that Joshua in this battle here, he executes a sudden attack. Amen. And we see in this sudden attack a forced march. Amen. And what we want to see is here is an immediate response to the plea for help. But God does not promise this. In other words, when we plea for help, He doesn't always give an immediate response, amen? And we have such an example over in Daniel chapter 10. And let's turn it to Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, in the first 14 verses, we won't read them all, amen? But we see a situation where there was a call or a plea for help in Daniel chapter number 10. And we want to see there that the response wasn't immediately. Amen. In Daniel chapter 10, we see that the Bible says this, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And he says, in the 4th and 20th day of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with a fine gold of Uphaz. And he describes this man that he saw, amen. And then he says, Daniel says in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. And then as we go down and we read down the chapter, we see that Daniel says, on verse 10, it says, And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. So Daniel has a vision, wants to understand it. He asked to understand it, and of course, from that moment, amen, we see this angel, who is Michael, identified in verse 13, was to come to him. But we see that he was withstood, amen, by demonic activity. It says in verse 13, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief principals, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many years. So Michael had to come and help this angel, because obviously this demonic influence or the demonic angels were stronger than this angel that was on its way to Daniel to reveal and help him understand what the vision was. So we see then Daniel cried, but there always the response didn't come right away. There was a reason, of course. And we've got to remember that God doesn't promise us absolutely that when we cry out or we plead for help that the response is going to be given immediately. Now, what we want to see here is Joshua shows us the six keys to winning the battle here. Number one is obey the Lord's command. Amen. Do what God commands. And of course, this takes faith. Amen. You know, don't try to understand it with your finite mind, because you can't comprehend sometimes what the Lord is telling you to do. Amen. Because we see with eyes, fleshly eyes. Amen. Most of the time as Christians, we look at the seen and not the unseen. We look at the temporal instead of the eternal. Amen. So number one, Joshua shows us the six keys to winning the battle. Number one, obey the Lord's command. Do what God commands. And of course, this takes faith. Do it by faith. We're to walk as Christians, amen, not by sight, but by faith. Number two, reckon that the Lord already has won it for you. Reckon that the Lord already has won it for you. Looking in Joshua, going back to the book of Joshua, in chapter number 10 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. See, the Lord told Joshua that he had already been given the victory. And that's what we have to remember. Another key to winning the battle is that reckon that Lord already has won it for you. Amen. So you can go out in confidence, knowing the battle's already won. Even though it's not started, the Lord has already won the battle. You know, so we saw faith, and then we have, as we reckon, the Lord has already won it for us, because we remember, amen, we see faith, and then we have to agree, amen, agree that the Lord has already won the battle for us. And in fact, for us as Christians, it's true. He won it back at the cross, amen, because we're told in John chapter 19, verse 30, is Jesus hung on the cross, the last words that he uttered were these, amen, in the Gospel of John in chapter 19 and verse 30, he said, it is finished. The battle is already won, amen. I am victorious, amen, over the devil, over the grave, over death, amen. The plan of salvation is now completed, amen. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 10, in the book of Hebrews with me, in chapter number 10, we read, beginning in verse 10, By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. He's paid the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. There's no need of continual sacrifices. One religious group comes and they continue the sacrifice every time they have what they call the Mass. Amen. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the victory's already won, amen. Christ has offered himself up once and for all. Christ's sacrifice finished the work to be begun to wrought our salvation, amen. He was the perfect sacrifice to sanctify us, to set us apart from the world, amen. So we're looking at Joshua showing us six keys to winning the battle. Obey the Lord's command. Amen. Takes faith. Reckon that the Lord already has won won it for you, has already run the battle for you. Agree with that. Number three, let the Lord fight for you. Yield to the Lord. Let him do the fighting. Amen. In the midst of the battle, amen, implying that you've got to go through it for the Lord to bring the victory. See what it says in going back to Joshua? Amen. Chapter 10, verses 10 and 11 again. Joshua chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Bethron, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and when going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Amen. We see that the Lord really fought that battle for them. As we see that the Lord killed more of the enemy with the hailstones that he sent down than Israel actually killed themselves. But still, amen, you got to go out. You still have to go out. In other words, you still have to go out. Even though the battle's won, you still have to go out. Amen. Into the battle and fight the battle, knowing that the Lord has already won it, that he's fighting it for you. Number four, again, we're looking at how Joshua shows us six keys to winning the battle. Number four, make sure that you give him the credit. You know, give him the honor. As we're looking at each one of the keys of success to winning the battle, the keys, amen, that make the battle successful, to winning the battle, we saw in connection with obey the Lord's command is faith. Reckon that the Lord has already won it for you. Agree. Let the Lord fight for you. Yield. And number four, make sure that you give him the credit. Honor. Amen. Because we see here in verses 10 and 11, really the Lord is given the credit for winning the battle. Amen. Turn over to Revelations chapter 5 for just a moment. Revelations chapter 5. In Revelations chapter 5, we want to look at verses 9 through 13. And of course, here we are in the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the scene is up in heaven. We begin in Revelations 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue, people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Amen. And blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor, glorify, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb forever and ever. Of course, this is the scene up in heaven of those that have been saved. Amen. They're praising God. They're giving him the credit for their salvation. Amen. They're singing praises unto him. Number five, as we're looking at the six keys to winning the battle that Joshua shows us, number five is to allow for the supernatural. Anticipate that, amen, that that's going to happen. Looking in verses 12 and 13 now of Joshua chapter 10 as we go back. 12 and 13. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Amen. So allow for the supernatural. Anticipate, amen, that the supernatural is going to take place. You know, the fact is we pray little and believe less. Look at in verses 7 and 9 of Joshua, chapter 10. We see, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the many men of valor. In verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Amen. We see that they were given supernatural strength, amen, to fight this battle. And then if you think about it, as we're looking at to anticipate the supernatural, imagine this took place in the month of July. And imagine, again, there were hailstones. We read that there were hailstones that came down from the heaven in July, typically when it's warm, amen. And then we see supernatural faith. Supernatural faith on the part of Joshua, amen. In fact, you know, he said, Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And that happened. But Joshua was given supernatural faith that to believe that God could do that. Amen. So that's what it takes. That's the fifth key to winning the battle that Joshua shows us. Allow for the supernatural. Anticipate the supernatural. Amen. And, you know, we can list some of the miraculous events in scriptures, events that cannot be explained by a sequence of natural events. For example, the creation. Amen. The creation. God created the world and everything else in 6 days. Just the birth of Isaac, amen, who was born to Sarah and Abraham. They were well beyond childbearing ages, amen. That's another miracle. How about the worldwide flood? Although some will try to, the skeptics will try to tell us that it was a localized flood, but the Bible tells us that it was a worldwide flood that killed all of mankind except Noah and his family. How about the splitting of the Red Sea? Another supernatural act of God. Another miracle, amen, that cannot be explained by the sequence of natural events. How about the burning bush? God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, yet it was not consumed, that bush, amen. And then we see at the Feast of Canaan, where Jesus turned the water into wine. Another miracle. How about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh? That's a mystery. I can't explain that. It's a miracle. It goes beyond, trying to explain it through, again, our means and our ways. Amen. There are hundreds more. And why should we come to this event and say it's impossible? Amen. For that sun, amen, to stand still and not to go down for a whole day, amen. The Bible is scientifically, historically, and archaeologically, and prophetically correct. And so is it miraculously correct. The sun standing still for almost 24 additional hours, in the moon standing still as well. Imagine. You can't. You know, we have arguments against this ever happening with the skeptics. You know, Joshua was wrong in telling the sun to stand still because the sun doesn't really move. This is just scientifically impossible. Nobody today would believe this. If the Earth stopped just like that, then we would be thrown off into outer space. Wrong. Amen. Notice the reason for the miracle. The reason for the miracle was to get the job done. And that's why, that's what miracles are for, to get God's job done. Amen. We see it the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Amen. Acts chapter 2, with the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That day at Pentecost, as Peter and the apostles were there, gathered together, and all devout men from Jews from the different countries, they heard them all speak in their own language, their own tongue, the wonderful works of God. We see a supernatural thing happen here. Why? To get God's work done. Amen? Because remember, they didn't have the full written revelation of God like we have today. Amen? And contained in the books of from Genesis all the way up to Revelation. 66 books, marvelous books. God-breathed books. God-breathed words. Amen? And one book. Joshua did not see it as hard for God when he said to have the sun stand still. Amen. Looking in Jeremiah chapter 32, we want to read what the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 32 in verse number 17. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. It says, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and is there nothing too hard for thee? Of course not. So why should it be so hard for us to believe that the sun stood still and even the moon for that day? Amen? God can do it. Again, we've been looking at the six keys to winning the battle that Joshua shows us. We saw obey the Lord's command. Connected with that is faith. Reckon that the Lord already has won it for you. Connected with that is agree. Let the Lord fight for you. Connected with that is yield. Make sure that you give him the credit. Connected with that is honor. Allow for the supernatural. Connected with that is anticipate. Then finally, the sixth key to winning the battle that Joshua shows us is fight until complete victory comes. And connected with that is persevere, perseverance, and persevere. Amen. Back to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua 10 and verse number 13. We read this. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about the whole day, until they had completely destroyed their enemies. Amen. So where to fight until the victory is complete? Persevere. Amen. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Look with me in 2 Corinthians, as we want to look at some New Testament counterparts, scriptures dealing with this, to fight until the victory is complete. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4 with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verses 4 and 5, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Okay, here we are. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, it talks about the spiritual battle that you and I fight. And we have to keep fighting until victory is complete. And we do that by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look with me in 2 Kings in chapter number 13. 2 Kings chapter number 13. In 2 Kings chapter number 13, we want to look at verses 14 through 19. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he put to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. He was angry with him. And so thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. See, Elisha was telling him that he should have hit the ground, amen. He told him to take the arrows and smite the ground, and he only did it three times. So victory wasn't complete, in other words. He should have done it five or six times to totally annihilate Syria. But see, they were only going to beat him for three times, and then eventually Syria would get them, amen. So you need to keep on keeping on, amen. Fight until complete victory comes is the sixth key to success, to winning the battle that Joshua shows us. You know, we need as Christians to fight against wrong attitudes. Amen. You know, attitude has so much to do on our outlook on things, and how we run the Christian race, and how we win the spiritual battle. We also need to fight against wrong imaginations, thoughts that the devil will put in our minds. Amen. To try to sidetrack us. Amen. To get our eyes off the Lord. Amen. And we need to take those imaginations and cast them down. Amen. And bring our thoughts into every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen. We need to fight against desires and lust and confess our sins. Amen. Because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to fight against wrong habits and actions. Amen. We need to fight against wrong habits. Habits and actions that will trip us out, that will beset us from running the Christian race, from getting the victory. Amen. These are all things, and they're all spiritual in nature, that we have to fight against. We know that Joshua fought against a physical enemy. Amen. Our enemy is not so much physical as a spiritual. It's a spiritual battle that we fight against. The Bible tells us not so much against flesh and blood. Amen. But spiritual wickedness in high places. And we see that Israel makes history. Going back to Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14. We read this. Joshua 10 verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So they made history that day. Amen. Never a day like it again, before or again. You know, we have to remember that prayer changes things. You and I can actually change God's mind. You know, God is not a Calvinist, a being that cannot be changed. If he is, then what's the use of praying then? Amen? Real praying involves only believing what God said. We've got to go back to verse 8 in Joshua chapter 10 to see what God said. Joshua believed what God said, amen? That's why he could pray to God and say, have the sun stand still. Verse 8 of Joshua 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. God delights in men who believe that he can do the impossible when we rely on him as we obey him. Amen. You know, the Lord said we could move mountains. Amen. We can move mountains if we believe that he can do the impossible. And we see that in Mark. As we turn over to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 11, Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We need to pray believing that God can do the impossible. Amen. Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and verse number 20. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. And we see it all the way through. God delights in men who believe that he can do the impossible when we rely on him as we obey. Jesus talked about plucking up trees if we have faith in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And we also must believe that God has given us the power for conquering sin in our lives. Look at in Romans 6, Romans chapter 6, and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So we have to believe that God has given us the power to conquer sin in our lives. He's also given us, amen, the spiritual power to resist Satan's attacks, according to James chapter 4 and verse 7 and Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. What do infidels say about this miracle? Well, they'll come up and they'll say such things, you know, as that this passage of Scripture is nothing more than a metaphor, a nice story. That in this metaphor may lie some interesting concepts of cosmology and perhaps even astrology. Indeed, it is possible, as some interpreters have suggested, that Joshua was uttering an incantation to the sun and moon to help him defeat his enemies. Information. Let's look at some information on the miracle of the sun standing still. Now, the sun is not standing still. The sun is moving through our galaxy at 43,200 miles an hour. Now, note our modern technology, advanced newspaper wording, sunrise in sunset. Note that Joshua said, "In the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still." Note that the moon as well is told to stand still, showing you that it has to be the earth in relation to the Israelites, that is, to stop rotating. God, we must remember, can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to ask our permission, amen. He doesn't have to, you know, do what the scientists say, what's impossible and what's not impossible. If God is the lawgiver, then he can suspend the laws any time that he desires, amen? He's the creator of the universe. God could not care less if anybody really believed this miracle or not. I know that Christians are powerless today. And the reason we're powerless today is because we do not believe God. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, did he not? He said three simple words in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, "Peace be still," and they obeyed. God created everything in this universe with just one word. So what's so complicated about slowing it down for 24 hours? The sun is told not to freeze because it does ultimately go down a day later than usual without being told to do so by Joshua. Example of road crew being told to stand still until a truck passes. The effect would be that of the sun ceasing its gravitational pull on the earth, allowing it to slow down from 1,004 miles per hour to only about 10 or 100 miles per hour. Again, Joshua chapter 10. In verse number 13, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies." Is not this written in the book of Jasher? "So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day." Now let's look at some proofs, amen. Some proofs of this. Well, Professor Tootin of Yale, 1890, an atheist astronomer, checked and found 23 hours and 20 minutes missing from our calendar from July 22nd, 1406 BC. He was not satisfied that there was a God until he could account for the other 40 minutes. A young man showed him Isaiah chapter 38, verses 7 and 8, where God turned back the sun 10 degrees, that would be 40 minutes for Hezekiah. And this comes from the book entitled Harmony of Science and Scripture, Erdmans, 1936, pages 281 to 283. And by the way, as a result of this, Professor Tootin became a Christian after that, amen. Records found in Greece, Egypt, China, and Mexico all make mention of a long day corresponding to the time of Joshua. Amen. So we see then there are proofs, scientific proofs, yes, that the sun stood still and did not hasten to go down that day. So we see there were 23 hours and 20 minutes that the sun did not go down until Israel had totally and completely defeated their enemies and had complete victory over their enemies. Amen. Okay, as we continue down here in our lesson, chapter 11, under, as you're looking at your course outline for lesson 11, we've been looking under point 2, what it takes to win the battle, and under 2, Roman numeral 2, we've been looking at what it takes to win the battle, and we've covered the first 14 verses of chapter 10 of the book of Joshua. Now, the next section we're going to be looking at will be dealing with defeated kings, how they dealt with those kings of those nations that were defeated. And that'll cover approximately Joshua chapter 10, verses 15 to 43. So when we meet again, we'll continue. We're not through yet with this lesson number 11 of what it takes to win the battle, Joshua chapter 10. So we'll continue and pick up next time, and we'll look at dealing with defeated kings.